Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Mooney's Mini Bites. I'm your host, Kosi, and I'm joined always by Wani B. And, hey, it's another, I think it's hopefully the final episode in our little roadshow series, Juan. So, great to hop online with you, buddy.
Definitely, definitely. We are paying off our one-shot review.
Yes.
Or if you folks remember, we spun for the one-shot last week with Eric. We landed on Slow Horses, the Apple TV show. The premise of the show is basically British spy agency, but not the fancy MI6 that we all know and love from James Bond movies. This MI5. Is more the MI5, the local one. I'm guessing it's kind of their version of the FBI.
Yeah,
compared to MI6 being the CIA.
A lower rung in the hierarchy of agencies, yeah.
Something along those lines. I don't know. We don't know too much about the specifics of British spycraft. But the show starts off right away. It actually reminds me a lot less James Bond with the fancy gadgets and sleek suits and more something like 24.
24. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like an English version of a British version of 24.
I also got a little bit of like CSI. CSI, but early seasons of CSI in terms of just how dramatic they wanted to be, but almost like, again, like an English Earl Grey tea dipped rendition of, you know, like late 90s, early 2000s kind of crime TV shows is what I was kind of getting a feel
kind of. Spy or crime thriller, for sure. Yeah. So we open up in an airport. It's basically, we don't know it yet, but they're basically going into a threat trading exercise where they're trying to catch a terrorist. We have our main guy. His name is, his last name is Cartwright. We don't know his first name yet. And he's supposed to be on the lookout for a specific guy who has a bomb or is going to switch off and gain a package in the airport for a bomb. And he's supposed to take him down, right?
Yeah, you kind of thrown into this cool like mission here, like in the beginning of this, what I thought was pretty, you know, engaging.
Sure, it's a very high stakes. Right away, we open up with, you know, Muslim terrorists potentially having a bomb on either a plane or, as it turns out, going towards a train.
Yeah,
very harrowing. We immediately have a case of mistaken identity based on a little bit of a, I guess, racism or mistaken identity.
Very much a little bit.
Yeah, basically they get the wrong brown dude, looking for a specific brown guy, but, you know, they managed to get the wrong guy.
Find the nearest brown guy, guys.
Pretty much. They get the shirt colors mixed up, but obviously he was more focused on the face colors. So he gets the wrong guy. He tries to go back and fix it, salvage the situation. But by the time he gets there, it's too late, and the terrorist wins and blows up right next to a train in front of hundreds of people.
Yeah, obviously, very jarring. Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, okay.
Yeah, very jarring start to the show. Obviously we wonder right away, cuts off, we wonder if the guy's okay, we wonder what happened to the train, if anything's salvaged. It seems crazy that they would just start a show with this kind of big terrorist attack happening. And then it seems like we open up later and our main guy is now working in a much crappier location. He has a little bit of a stubble, looks less clean shaven and nice. In a crappy office.
Looking downtrodden.
It turns out, luckily for everyone, that it was just a training exercise. It wasn't a real terrorist. They were just, you know, running a situation scenario to see if he could manage to successfully catch a terrorist in that scenario. And obviously, he failed.
I really want to add that whole rug pull of just, because again, the show, it does a really good job of bringing you in as a viewer of like, oh god, like you're thrown into this with Cartwright having to go thwart this terrorist plot, and like you see him fail, and like, oh my goodness, and then you know they kind of again, pull the rug out. And again, I really, as a very first episode, as a one shot, I was like, wow, this is how you capture someone as a watcher and then keep them going and wanted to continue on this journey, because now you're seeing the hero try and fail. Now we're seeing him at rock bottom. Usually you don't get to that like until like halfway through, and like I just loved how they got you right away, and now you're like really, really invested in what's going on. I love that.
Oh, and it definitely turns out to be a way to get us into this new location, which is Gary Oldman's, they call it the Slough House.
Slough House.
Basically, it's still MI5. It's still technically British intelligence, but it's the shit tier British intelligence, right? It's the G League. It's the G League of British intelligence. So, you know, he got reassigned there. It's implied heavily that it's because of its connects. That's the main reason he didn't get entirely fired. Apparently, his grandfather's also British intelligence and basically stood up for him.
Yeah,
nepotism. We get introduced to him later on. But yeah, we open up on Gary Oldman looking very much like a hobo in his own apartment, right? He looks like shit. He has holes in his socks. Clearly an alcoholic. Disheveled is the appropriate word for it.
He's and clearly like reeling through something. He's reeling from something, and you know, when we'll definitely figure out why. But like again,
of Cartwright being there, it seems very likely that he also fucked up, or otherwise had something happen to him that derailed what was likely a promising career once upon a time. We don't really get too many details in this particular episode. But we do find out that Gary Oldman is a huge asshole to all his current employees. Basically lets them know repeatedly that, hey, you guys are here because you're shit. You guys are here because you fucked up. And I want to make your lives miserable because you are shit and deserve to be treated like shit by me and everybody else.
You're living to say to your coworkers. It kind of reminded me of House a little bit in terms of like, the delivery and almost just the you can almost hear just the saltiness behind it all. Like I got flashes of House a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. That's another early 2000s show that this I like the main guy Cartwright. I got very strong Jack Bauer vibes. He doesn't like following orders. Likes doing his own thing. Makes mistakes and brutally beats up a couple of people in his little training exercise. Considering he knew it was a training exercise, he was very willing to just fuck up some people that were obviously there to help him. But that's, you know, for a story for another time. So we continue on with the show. We're introduced basically to this office. Get, you know, just basically a few names and faces so far. We don't really get too many details on most of the people there. I will say that it's pretty good music choices early on in the episode. The music drops are all pretty nice.
Yep, I did like the needle drops here.
Definitely. But then the one actress we might recognize, she was in House of Dragon, Alicent, Queen Alicent.
Yes, yeah.
She plays someone named Cid in this show. She's one of the more competent of the people in this Slough House. Her name is Cid, and she basically gets some intel from some journalist, some right-wing journalist.
Yeah, some far-right.
We get some implication that Muslims versus far-right dudes is going to be a theme of the show early on. Right away, between the fake-out with the Muslims, the Muslim terrorists in the airport, and now we get right-wingers, radical right-wingers, saying that we need to stop the Muslims and we need to get rid of them. And this guy seems to be a part of that. So Alicent or Cid gets some info from him. She also seems to be the kind of flirty and friendly with Cartwright, our main fuck-up Jack Bauer dude.
You can definitely see a bit of a romance.
A little bit of a flirty attitude, but she also kind of treats him like a sad fuck up. So
I also want to add again, just seeing Olivia Cooke, just again, she's such a fantastic actress. From, I remember just watching her in Ready Player One in that movie. I loved her in there. Then again, saw her as an older Alicent in House of the Dragon. So again, whenever I see her, she's always just a delight just to watch as a performer, because she just always just has great performances from her. So just love seeing Olivia in this role.
Yeah, no, definitely. So the intel that you get from this journalist apparently is wanted by the high-up dudes in the proper MI5 over in Regent's Park, and that's where our dude Cartwright kind of gets involved and decides, again, very Jack Bauer vibes, he decides that he needs to take it upon himself to open up the lockbox, investigate everything on his own against the specific orders of Gary Oldman, who basically tells him that he's hoping he'll get him to quit because he hates him so much, because he thinks he's such a failure. So obviously he kind of that go get him type that loves things on his own and doesn't listen to the rules. Very very traditional tropes for this kind of character.
Once again, I love seeing Gary Oldman in this role, because again, whether he's playing Winston Churchill in a movie or on this show in an Apple TV show, he always brings a different kind of dimension to every performance. And in this one, he plays just that crotchety, just salty. Like he made me super uncomfortable. I just did not like seeing him whenever he showed up on screen. And that's Gary Oldman. He's able just to elicit those different kind of responses out of you as a viewer. But again, it just plays into his character, and you can see how he just pushes that, what I call that saltiness, onto the other characters. And he's just really just coming after this guy in this show. And it's great to watch, but I'm just like, geez, it's Gary Oldman, you suck, bro.
Yeah, no, you definitely meant to hate on this guy. He's very much a shitty boss.
Yeah, he's the boss.
But so we have the Jack Bauer dude Cartwright kind of trying to investigate on his own what's going on. We see some hints that it's like a bigger right-wing plot very modern, very Trump vibes. The guy getting pissed off topical. About the immigrants coming in.
Yeah.
Very topical.
Very topical, yeah.
Obviously, this was topical even 4 years ago with Brexit and all this stuff.
This is like 2022, though. So they were like really in it, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. This came out a couple of years ago. But yeah, no, definitely similar vibes to what we're experiencing today. So we find out who the grandfather is, who Cartwright basically got helped out with. He's played by Jonathan Pryce. Another Game of Thrones alum. He's played the High Sparrow. You guys might remember from there. So we got a couple of Game of Thrones dudes. Incredible actor, very supportive and nice grandfather. Clearly a very accomplished man, very serious man, but also a little bit treats his grandson. I don't know. He takes it kind of for granted that his grandson will be fine. And that he's just, you know, little slap on the wrist. Yeah, a little slap on the wrist for what he's done. Obviously, the grandson is frustrated. Part of the problem is Cartwright keeps acting like, oh, hey, it was a training exercise. It was a simple mistake. So he doesn't really seem to be taking responsibility and really accepting. And also, he's kind of blaming one of his coworkers in that raid, who he set blames for basically giving him the wrong intel on the color t-shirts, which I didn't go back and double check. I think he does give him the wrong intel. Get the wrong intel about the shirt colors. So, you know, it kind of was the other guy's fault, but he took the full blame for it. Obviously, it sounded like he was making excuses and like he wasn't taking responsibility, so definitely seems like he has a lot to learn, so to speak, and they're trying to teach him instead of simply firing him.
I definitely got the vibes from him and his grandfather's relationship is that whole idea of the mistake, like your mistakes being amplified by, you know, either your mom or your dad or grandparents who want you to achieve and succeed the same way they did, so they kind of heap that pressure on you. So you can definitely see just it kind of manifesting in a negative way here, where it's like, sure, it was a training exercise, but you're downplaying like the severity of what it did to me psychologically. And like, as my grandfather, you should be, you know, having my back, but he isn't. And he's not seeing it that way because, you know,
I kind of saw it the opposite, man, because it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, I mean, he basically tells them, oh, hey, you'll be back on your feet in a little bit. I mean, it seems like the grandfather's not even taking it seriously and just takes it for granted that, you know, because of his name, he'll just be back to being a successful agent in no time.
Well, yeah, because he kind of, again, he's like, yeah, sure, what happened, but it's okay. Stiff upper lip almost. Again, he's kind of not under, he's saying it'll get better without actually acknowledging that, oh, some wild stuff happened. You know? And that's kind of what I got from it. He almost kind of isn't really fully acknowledging it. You ask me.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But yeah, no, and then, you know, Cartwright tries to get some information on the journalist out of the dude, but still doesn't, other than just finding out that they're all kind of somewhat vaguely connected, like right-wing political parties and people who just basically hate Muslims. We don't get too much information. Yeah. Then we get basically the main plot and what looks like is going to be the main plot of the season. The main kickoff, where basically some edgy white comedian and his edgy Muslim comedian friend make some jokes about Jesus and Allah in a comedy club. Yeah. You know, the kind of stuff that's not very PC, got a little bit anti-woke. Not as bad as you'd think. Mostly actually shitting on Jesus as far as the jokes go, but still some edgy material. But you see the people get pissed off and walk away. People don't really like that kind of subject matter, so to speak. And then, we actually get a little bit of a fake out where it seems like some Muslims are kidnapping the white guy that actually got up on stage saying the slightly racist jokes, the religious jokes about Allah and Jesus. But it's actually a fake out right after we see a politician make an ass of himself talking about how Muslims are destroying the country and how it's clearly ISIS capturing white people for making silly jokes. We find out, oh, it was actually the Muslim dude that got kidnapped and the Muslim dude that they're threatening to kill. And it's far-right English dudes, British dudes, so basically taking it out and trying to send the message to Muslim people, like, get out, brown people, get out, Muslims, you're not welcome here. So that's, you know, kind of the kickoff for where we are at this point in the show.
Yeah, no, it's what I liked about this is that it kind of turned a lot of it set out to turn a lot of things on its head, just not just from the beginning with the training, but even to that beat there where, you know, we're thought to think one thing's happening and then boom, we're kind of, you know, gut punch with that. And I love that, again, it's something that still is relevant today. Like, you're seeing, you know, people being, you know, targeted and rounded up and all that stuff and being, like, you know, taken away by people, like, with masks and taken to unknown locations. So I think just watching that and that visual, it really did stir up, like, oh, man, it's like, wouldn't it be crazy if that stuff happened? And, you know, it's not too far off, just to say, from what's going on in our present world. So that was a very, very powerful thing to see right there.
Definitely. And, it, you know, it seems like we're heading towards some kind of race war scenario. You know, it's hot button issues, still relevant, obviously, to this day. Immigrants coming in, obviously, some of them have committed terrorist acts. As far as the Muslims, never forgetting 9/11 and all that stuff. It's a little bit heavy-handed.
I thought so, too.
It is a little bit heavy-handed. It's a crime thriller. It's a spy crime thriller. It seems like it's fun, but it seems, again, something like 24, right? It's like 24 mixed with a little bit of House.
Yeah.
Like you said. with a very British overcoat hanging the whole thing. It seems fun. I'm actually very curious to see where it goes. I've heard good things about the rest of the season. It's like on season four by now. They're pumping him up pretty quickly. Just the fact that, again, it's not going to blow your mind as far as something you've never seen before. Yeah, it seems like a fun show to keep up with. And they do have enough twists on the common tropes, enough playing around with some of the things that they usually show in this kind of scenario, that I think it could still be fresh and still keep it interesting. The fact that it's led by Gary Oldman helps a lot, because obviously he's going to be an awesome screen presence.
Oh, yeah,
finding out about his, you know, why he's this way, what makes him tick, why he's still dealing with British intelligence after he's been sent off to this kind of crappy workplace. I think it's...
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you're talking about Gary Oldman's character. Yeah, for me, that was like a big lingering thing coming at the end. Okay, like, I was wondering, because I said at the top of the episode, there's something going on with him. He's taking out on everybody around him. Like, we're definitely going to learn this, and I definitely was still very engaged with the show and the plot and all that, that bigger one. But I'm also looking at his character, and I definitely expect us to learn a little bit more about him and just what happened, you know, what makes him tick, just the whole why, because I really want to peel that back and then almost kind of go back and rewatch a lot of this stuff too before I knew that stuff. So yeah, I'm definitely wanting to see more of this show and his character.
For sure. No, I think as far as a one-shot, it's a very successful one-shot. Very much recommend it for the listeners. Give the show a chance. It's on Apple TV. Been on a heavy Apple TV vibe lately. But yeah, they have some good shows. And they have some good shows, and this seems to be one of them. So that's Slow Horses on Apple TV. And our one-shot, I think we're both going to end up recommending it. Continue to view it moving forward.
Yes. All right. Well, okay. Thank you very much, man. That was awesome.
Yeah, sounds good, Kelsey.
Yeah, and thank you, Juan, and thank you, listener, just for tuning in to this Mooney Mini Bites episode. I want to thank you, and find us anywhere, and you can talk to us and see us, and look out for our coming up episode for, we're actually going to review Severance, the final season finale episode, so look out for that episode coming out rather soon. But until next time, guys, I'm Kosi, and I'm joined always by Juan E.B. Until next time, guys. Peace.